You're listening to For the Republic, a love letter to Star Wars animation.
Hello there.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to our Bad Batch recaps here on For the Republic, a love letter to Star Wars animation. I am one of your hosts, Andrew, joined today by Don and Connor. We are here to discuss episode 5 of season 2, titled Entombed. This was how last week was pretty much Mario Kart and Top Gun. This was Indiana Jones meets Uncharted meets Tomb Raider meets weird Godzilla mech thing at the end of the episode.
But Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yeah, this was a weird one, guys.
Yep.
Yeah,
very strange.
Again, this one kind of departed from what we assumed would be the main narrative theme of the season that we were setting up in the first three episodes, and we had like our own little side quest thing. So we've had plenty of what is filler conversations on Twitter the past couple days, and there's been varying opinions about this episode. If you listened to our recap last week for Faster, you would know that these two gentlemen right here were a big fan of the episode, and I was not. So, am I going to be Mr. Grumpy Pants again this week? Yes and no. We'll get into it. What I will say is everything that a lot of the stuff I said last week of where I thought they might be going in the direction of the season was proven wrong immediately in this episode. Because I was like, okay, so do you think like these side quest episodes or these like standalone ones, are they only going to focus on like a certain amount of the group, like not the full thing? Because last week was just Tech, Wrecker, and Omega, and then everyone's there in the bar at the beginning. So I'm like, all right, well that theory's gone. So that's done and over with. And then I was like, I think I made a comment last week or a joke, like, hey, what happened to Fee? She kind of showed up for a half a second in the first episode and then just never appeared again. So did they just have Wanda Sykes just come into the booth real quick, say a couple lines, and then leave? And then she's the main focus in this episode. So everything was thrown out right then and there. So what did we think of this one? Because I'm still...
I shouldn't have watched it at like 5:45, 6 a.m. before work. Because like I watched it and I really didn't think much of it. Just was like, yeah, okay, that was all right, and that was it.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of like my initial kind of take on it. I was kind of like, it was all right, and then like the last 15 minutes happened and I was like, whoa, this is kind of weird and not what I was expecting, and that was kind of cool.
That was pretty,
and I was
cool, the whole like,
I was
mechanism,
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, and I was kind of gonna write it off as being just kind of like, eh, it's all right, it's not like, but the more I thought about it, the more I did find like a little bit of growth and progression for the characters, enough to make it more than just like a seemingly throwaway adventure. And I actually kind of like Fee. I feel like they've made Fee distinguishable as a character. I was kind of initially I thought, she kind of like an Aphra knockoff, and then the more I thought about it, the more I was like, actually she's different. She's a different kind of character here. She's a Tomb Raider. Basically, she's liberating these artifacts, but she's got kind of more of a romantic view of how she does it. Like, you know, she recounts all these stories to Omega about like how she's liberator of sacred artifacts.
Fun. Yeah.
Whereas I feel like Aphra is just
Hunter were like, what yeah, the hell are you talking?
Whereas
about?
Like I feel like Aphra is like
felt
very
kind of Lando.
Yeah.
I have my thoughts on Fee. Some are good. I like aspects of Fee. I don't know if I'm a big fan of her character, but I'll say why I don't when we get to it, because it's just something I've noticed. But
so what do you mean, Don? Like, could you just dive deep more into the whole like character progression thing?
Yeah,
there's probably something I just missed.
Yeah, so
again,
like,
6 a.m.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like with where the character progression is concerned, it's mostly about Omega and Hunter here. And I feel like, and I'm kind of somewhat piggybacking off of what Alex from Star Wars Explained said in his review, because in his review he talks about how Omega is mimicking, she clearly looks up to Fee. She's clearly enraptured by Fee's story. She's very much kind of like, she's very much just looking up to Fee in the way she did the Bad Batch, you know, to the point where she's mimicking her, like, you know, when she puts her legs up on the table the same way that Fee does. And it mirrors her doing the same thing in the opening of season one with Hunter. And you catch a look where Hunter is kind of watching her, and he looks a bit, he looks almost kind of, well, not jealous, but almost kind of disdainful that she is now, Omega is growing up, is having other people to look up to besides her brothers.
That's the part of the episode I really liked, was the Omega stuff. I feel
like... I actually like that it's subtle as well, relatively subtle for the show. Like, they don't have Hunter come out and say it to Omega. They never really kind of like spell it out with dialogue. It's all conveyed through Hunter's facial response, the way he looks, his responses to like what Fee and Omega's interactions, and his actions throughout the story, like the way he interacts with Fee, and you know what how he ultimately winds up gaining a sort of respect for her by the end. Like at the end when he's watching Fee just kind of like spin another tail to Omega, he kind of just like sort of does that kind of like grunt of like, oh, well, you know, I'm not sure I buy this, but you know, the kid thinks she's all right, so I think she's all right. There's kind of this acceptance that Omega is growing up and discovering her own identity, and that means finding other people to admire and look up to besides the Bad Batch. I just kind of respected that.
She's like growing up, and I like how Hunter went into like jealous dad mode here. Like, no, I don't want her looking up to Fee. I want her, like, that's my job. Because in the early, like, not only in this season, but in like last season, the big thing was Omega was always looking up to Hunter. And there were all these moments, like these cute moments where it's like, oh, look at Omega trying to imitate Hunter here with like the knife at one point and then other stuff. It's like, that was the thing. So to see Hunter kind of be out of his element and kind of shown up here by Fee was great. And I also love that little moment when they're in the Marauder and they both have their like feet up, just doing the same pose. Like, I was debating on making that the thumbnail for the episode. I was like, that was really funny.
I was like, oh.
What I will say about this episode is I thought it was going to be another one of, you know, I'm gonna have to come on here, and after championing the Bad Batch for a year, I'm going to have to come on here and say that's another episode I didn't like. However, when it got to the big reveal at the like 15, 20 minute mark in the episode, that's when I was like, okay, no. Okay, this got really weird. And I like when my Star Wars gets weird. So that's when I was like, okay, now I'm digging it. So by the end of the episode, I was like, it was what you guys thought of last week when you were like, the race is what put that episode over the hill for us two. That's why I felt this week with this one, where I was like, you know, it's just fine. And then the race kicks in. I'm like, and then the Godzilla Arceus thing kicks in, and I'm like, all right, now this is awesome. So that was me. My thing is like, people were like, because a lot of this episode, like we said, was like the Indiana Jones style treasure hunt, which is fun. And like, there are points where you could insert the Indiana Jones theme into the episode and it would fit like a glove. My issue is I feel like they've done this type of episode before, and I think they've done it better. Like the simple treasure hunt type of thing. Someone pointed out, I think it was Jake and I were having this conversation of, I feel like they've gone on this, and Tech even has the joke of at the end of the episode, oh, now we're 0 for 2 for treasure hunts. So I feel like they've done this, and I feel like they took, because I talked last week about how my least favorite episode of season one was the one where they're stuck in the mine shaft, they have to get out, and they have all the creepy monsters. What is it in this episode? They're stuck in a tomb. They got to get out. There's a creepy monster. I'm like, you know, they're doing this again. I'm like, yeah. They just watch Infested. Everyone hated it. And they're like, we're going to make the entire season that, guys. Here we go. We're going to. So I don't know.
Like that. I actually do think, though, it is better than Infested. Because like,
it's much better than Infested. I think Infested is crap. But then
the reason Infested isn't. Yeah, the reason Infested is easily the weakest episode of the season is because like the monsters, the like the swarms of insectoid alien creature things, they're not very scary. like they do kind of feel like a knockoff of the Krill from Gears of War, and that's not really something that you should get from Star Wars, that it's, oh, it's a lesser version of something another sci-fi series did better. But like this monster actually felt creepy because it felt like it could, it was threatening the Bad Batch, like when it's pulling Wrecker up into the hole it created, and Wrecker is just having to punch it in the face repeatedly. It actually feels threatening. It feels like it could potentially kill one of them, and it's that easily puts it above Infested for me.
Yeah,
there's actual danger here.
The danger and the stakes were definitely raised in this episode, and it's like, my issue isn't with the treasure hunt itself, because I like treasure hunt stories. The compass, in many ways, this is going to be a comparison that some people will not like, but the compass in this one reminded me of the Wayfinder and the dagger from The Rise of Skywalker. Going on the treasure hunt thing, and like how that movie for the first little bit was
Wayfinders
like,
are fucking sick.
Yeah,
that's all. That
movie for a little
I like Wayfinders. Like
Finn, Rey, and Poe going on a
I do wish their design was changed. It's like something of a bit, so they don't resemble Sith holocrons too much.
And they're like, oh, that's a holocron. No, that's a Wayfinder. It's like, but it's a holocron.
Sith architects are just really, really lazy. That's my headcanon. They're just lazy bastards.
That's the Wayfinder. It's like, that's a holocron.
If it works, it works.
It's like, you can dress it up in the whole symbolism and everything, but like Palpatine, my guy, you're just fucking lazy.
Yeah.
Some people shit on that dagger scene where Rey like, looks at it. I'm like, there's been weirder shit in Star Wars. They do that in this episode with the compass where she looks at it in a weird angle and like the ceiling starts glowing. And I'm like, that's just a trope of like adventure things. And yes, it does feel, especially the themes at the end of the episode, feel very Indiana Jones, where they're going, they're getting the treasure, and then they don't end up getting the treasure at the end of it. And then they learn the Fee learns the lesson along the way that, you know, friendship is more important. My thing is, it's like, all right, well, they're going to get separated. What do you know? They got separated. And then it's like, all right, well, then they're going to find something, and then they do. But I was like, what is this leading to? And then when it got to, I was like, you know, we're getting like 16 minutes in, and they're still just walking through corridors. Nothing's really happening. We had that one scare with the monster. And I'm okay. So like, Hunter's kind of jealous, and he doesn't really like Fee that much. Tech and Wrecker and Echo are in this episode. And then Omega's kind of the star of the show here with Fee. And then, of course, they're looking for this treasure that's in... Does anyone remember the name of the thing? Because I am blanking.
Heart of the Mountain.
Heart of the mountain. Yeah, and they're like, oh, it predates the Republic. It predates the Jedi.
See, that did pique my interest.
I like that. I like the ancient lore and all that stuff. And it felt like they were building up towards some big reveal.
Yeah.
And I think this was kind of like, I think the people involved in the show kind of shot themselves in the foot here, because they were building this up as like, oh, there's a lot of cool stuff in the reveal. Kevin Kiner posted like the aliens meme from like 2006. So everyone was like, what is this going to be? Some people joke the Yuuzhan Vong. I'm like, they're not going to introduce them in a random episode of the Bad Batch. And then there was a lot of Zepho comparisons, and some, it might still be a thing, but exactly, like, and then it was just like, what did they say what it was?
They didn't.
No.
Based on the look, I don't think it's Zepho, but like it resembles Zepho.
Yeah, because it's got the beam and everything, and the design is very similar to like the head shape of the Zepho, and you know, it doesn't necessarily line up with like what we know of them and their ideology, but we do know they fell to the dark side eventually. So maybe like one of the evil bastard Zepho built like a big, you know, like
and it's like the Zepho. They said, I think the Zepho have been around for a long time, so like their design could have changed.
Like, this could be like a stealth setup for Jedi Survivor where like, you know, Cal is maybe going to more Zepho stuff, and then we suddenly see one of those things sitting around. And
I was
going to
say,
oh,
like,
shit.
Like how I said last week, if like Riot Racing, like if that was like a backdoor pilot for like a game coming up, I'd take everything back. I said, if this is like a sneak preview to Jedi Survivor and Cal has to fight one of those giant like robot mech things in the game, I'll be like,
oh, if it's like Shadow of the Colossus shit where he has to like climb up it and just like take it down, that would be awesome. It's not the first time that Star Wars has done these secret nods to like a future project we don't know about, because they did it with High Republic, you know, they did it with like the Rise of Kylo Ren comic. There was like references to They had like an Avar Chris cameo. They went to Elfrona, yeah, and that was before anyone knew.
Yeah, Maxine Station was
exactly. All this stuff setting it up, and we didn't even know that the High Republic existed. So it's very possible that they could have just taken the same kind of trick here. But it's also equally possible it could just be like a thing they don't know about yet, which I'm fine with. I mean, as long as they actually explore it, that would be cool.
So as we said, the group gets split up, and then we have Fee working with Hunter and Omega, and then Tech, Echo, and Wrecker doing their own thing. I don't think they really do anything. I think they have a couple scenes where they're like, all right, so we're going here, and then they find him eventually.
When they turned around the corner and they went and hunter Fee and Omega, I just laughed because
they're hearing the monster again, and yeah, then it's just them.
I thought they were at least going to discover something else that would help, but no, they just immediately reunite.
That's why I was like, is this leading to anything? And then eventually when they do find the heart of the mountain, they are able to unlock the secret. And I liked how the whole tomb just started lighting up there, and then it turned into Mechagodzilla monster Pokemon type of thing. And it was, there was that moment in the trailer where we were like, now what the hell is this? And we were like, because they showed this thing, and we were like, what in tarnation is this story gonna be? And then we finally see it here, and I certainly wasn't expecting it. I was like, okay, so there's gonna be something, and then the whole mountain comes alive, and we see that. And
I did like the self-destruct mechanism that I thought was pretty cool.
That was pretty cool. I also liked the very obvious Indiana Jones parallel when Fee is like reaching to grab the heart of the mountain, and Omega is like literally standing there, literally mimicking Sepido's Alfred Molina's like pose in Raiders of the Lost Ark. Like all she had to do was go like do that thing he does with his hands, where he's like he's almost imagining the money, like he's like.
I do love this new aspect of Omega's character, where like she just they're like going scrap hunting, and she's like, "Oh, I found this treasure," and then it's like all this random. So like you can just see like the childlike wonder in her, of like, I could definitely see her at one point like going off with like a Dr. Aphra type of character and like becoming a treasure hunter. Like that would be really cool if like after Bad Batch is over, if the Aphra comics are still going on, they just run into Omega and she's become like a space archaeologist is. Well, I guess it's just an archaeologist because that's what Aphra is too. That would be cool if she went like off the beaten path and didn't just become like another clone. If she like after the rebellion's over, and assuming she lives through it, like that would be interesting, an interesting way to do it. I just like seeing more layers to Omega's personality because she still is like a young character that gets easily influenced by other characters. And we see that we see how naive she can still be. And we mentioned last week how if Cid does end up betraying them, I feel like Omega is going to be the one that is really impacted the most. And she's going to blame herself for it because the other members of the Batch just see her as an employer. They don't even really fully trust her. But Omega is the one that does see her as like pseudo family. So that would be a real big hit for her. So I'm going to point out my issue with Fee, but first I'm going to talk about how I said that the people kind of working on this kind of might have shot themselves in the foot hyping up this episode a bit too much. Because like we said, we had Kevin Kiner posting like the gifts of like, oh, the aliens. And it's like, so what is this going to be? Is this going to be a big reveal? And then you had the people working on the sound design team, like David Collins was posting about this episode. I think Jennifer Corbett was posting about this episode. Connor's favorite person, Jordan Mazon, said that this was his favorite of the episodes he got to watch. So then I watched this episode.
Says a lot.
Yeah, I watched this episode and I'm like, am I missing something? The first 15 minutes I was like,
If he said his favorite episode was Infested, I would have been like,
of the 14 I watched, this was my favorite, he said. And I'm like, okay, so this is going to be a really good episode. And I'm like, this is just, what's going on here? And then the weird shit happened. I'm like, okay, I kind of get it. I still wouldn't call it my favorite by any means. So that was like, I think
everyone's Star Wars sensibilities are not the same, but like still.
I was talking with that about Jake. I was like, that's interesting. Like, by all means, if you loved this episode, I like the episode, but like, I don't see how, at least in my mind, like, I can't say that, but like, if I compare this to like Solitary Clone, I'm watching that episode like almost every single time if I have to choose between one of them. Even though this one might be, I guess, more fun upon rewatch, I don't know. Like I said, we've only watched the episode once. So if I watch it again knowing the reveal is coming, I'm interested in seeing how the first two-thirds of the episode would play out for me, because I'm watching them and I'm just like, okay, where's this going? And then I was literally worried that the episode was going to end on a cliffhanger. We were going to get the reveal at the end of the episode and then it was going to carry over into next week. Because I was like, the pacing is just weird here. We're like almost 20 minutes in and we haven't gotten anywhere in this treasure hunt. But now I guess I can talk about Fee and why I'm iffy on her is because, you know, they introduced Fee as Sid's like pirate friend. I didn't realize that she was literally just Sid, but Wanda Sykes. That is my issue with Fee, is yes, it's like she has this story that's like, oh, her character, like she tells these exaggerated stories and I find that really fun and she's got a bit more of adventure. But like her personality and the way she talks to the batch, it's just Sid. She's got nicknames for all of them. She's got like the same like personality, the same sass, the same kind of like attitude towards everything. And then just like still in the like, oh, I don't know if I can fully trust the group. Like, I feel like every Sid episode, it's like they're indifferent towards each other. Then you think they work together at the end, and it's like, oh, maybe they're not so bad after all. And then the next episode, it's they're indifferent towards each other. They work together at the end, and it's like, oh, maybe they're not so bad after all. And it's just like, I can only listen to a character call Tech Goggles or Brown Eyes or Record Big Guy so many times before I'm like, all right, this is getting a little old here. Like, we can do another. So that's just me. I don't know. That's the vibe I got, was like, this is just the same character.
It is a fair observation. They're very like, similar.
It is nice. Like, I like Wanda Sykes. So to get her having a character, or to get her to voice a character in the show, I thought was fun. And I thought she did a great job with the voice. It's just like, again, you brought up the Afro comparison. And like, I just wish she was a cooler character, you know? Because she has such a big focus in this episode. And it's not that I disliked her. It's just like, if this episode played out the exact same, but it was Sid instead of Fee, very little of this episode would have been changed. Like,
I think the episode would be weaker for it, to be honest, with like having Sid present. Because I would say Fee is more likable than Sid, at least because of like, you know, they actually had her. They actually had her like go through
it. I said that's not that hard to do.
It's like I'm not trying to like crap on Sid, but like Fee, I warmed up to Fee, kind of similar to
I can definitely see her, if she is in more episodes, turning.
That's what I was gonna say,
and becoming more useful to the batch, and actually being an ally, and not just, all right, Goggles, here's your new mission. Like, and then we're going from there.
You gotta go get a crate full of coaxium and bring it back to Odd Mantel.
And that's, I guess, where my complaint, or not real complaint, but like worry with this season comes into play. Because I have enjoyed 4 out of the 5 episodes. That being said, though, if I'm being completely honest, this season feels underwhelming to me so far. And I say that greatly enjoying the premiere. I love the Solitary Clone is one of my favorite episodes of Star Wars animation of all time. I think it's a masterpiece. But then these two episodes, these last two, have been so like standalone and completely separated from everything that we've seen so far in this show that I'm like, where is the show going with its narrative? And I was talking to Jake about this last night. Spoiler alert, if Jake was on this week, he would not have had much to say at all. So there's that. But We were talking, and I made the observation that I feel like this show is becoming two separate shows, and or it's telling two different stories. It's the Imperial stuff with Crosshair, Cody, Rampart, the transition to the Empire, the phasing out of the clones, and then whatever the hell the Batch is doing, going on random adventures. And normally the Empire would cross over with that, and they'd be on the run from the Empire. But the Empire has been nowhere to be found these last 2 weeks. So I just find it so, like, I am totally fine with different kind of episodes. And I think that's the great thing about shows like The Bad Batch is that you can have this variety of storytelling. You can have different kinds of episodes where one episode can be a more serious war story. The other one can be this wacky adventure, and it's all tying together. And, like, I don't have an issue with filler. Filler can be necessary at points. It can be a good way of developing your characters and getting more character focused episodes. It's when they are so exist. Yeah, it's when they're so separated from everything else and you go, okay, if we got rid of this episode from the season or if we missed this week, would we be missing anything the next week? And while I enjoyed Entombed, I don't know, obviously with hindsight it's going to be a bit different when we look back on the season. But I don't know if this is going to be an episode where it's like, it's going to matter if you watch it or not. If you get what I mean here. Like, I enjoyed it. It was fun. But am I going to get anything from it? And I'm just wondering, because I know there is so much cool stuff coming from what we got with the trailers. We got Gunji coming. Palpatine's going to be there. Hopefully more stuff with Crosshair and Cody. The Zillow Beast is going to show up at some point. Like, we know there's going to be cool stuff coming.
The Zillow Beast?
I think he's in one of the trailers.
Maybe they might have got it confused with that creature because it is that creature similar to the Zillow Beast.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Okay, well, if that's the case, then
we have to talk about the Super Mario 64 moment where Rekka just yeets out a window.
100% we need to.
I was like literally when Rekka grabbed it by the tail, I was like, just swing him around and throw him out, because then that will just complete the scene, and thankfully he did.
So that's probably what was in the trailer then. I'll have to rewatch the trailer. Yeah. But we know cool stuff is coming. I'm just like, 16 episodes should give you so much more time to develop your characters and actually like tell a cohesive story. And I feel like the show is separating, and the Batch's portion of the story feels stuck right now. It just feels like it's stuck in the Cid stuff and the mercenary stuff, where I feel like they should have moved on from that a while ago. But I feel like every week we're like, okay, well, we know this stuff, so-and-so is coming. We know they're eventually going to be a part of the fight. We know Rex is going to show up again and all that stuff, and eventually they're going to break away from Cid. But, like, we keep saying that, and then every single week, there's still just back at Ord Mantell doing missions with Cid. So it's like, how long are you going to keep this going? And while I do still enjoy the show, I'm just wondering, like, is it getting the, like, second season slump? It's reminding me a lot of Resistance Season 2, where they had such an ample opportunity to tell an awesome story. And then it was just 90% filler and ended up being the last season of the show.
Which is interesting considering that Jennifer Corbett also worked on Resistance.
Yeah.
But like, you know.
So I'm worried that Bad Batch is falling into the same trap of, because we have an extended episode count, we can just have a bunch of random shit episodes that like are just fun and don't really matter for the overall big story. But it's like, when are we getting to that point that stuff is going to happen? Because I feel like the best word I can use is it feels stuck in the same place. And I don't know when that's going to change, and I'm confident it will, but like, I don't know when it's going to go from, to me, like, okay, this was a fun episode. This was a fun, like, change of pace thing. I don't know how many more weeks in a row we could hypothetically go with that before I'm like, is this leading to anything? Do they have a plan? Do they know where this is going?
Yeah.
And I know that this was finished. Sorry, I keep talking so long.
Oh, no, that's fine.
But I know that they have said that this was pretty much finished, like, before season one even finished coming out.
Right.
And I'm assuming they're working on a season three right now. But, like, are we not going to get a lot of the stuff we were expecting this season or even late in season one until a season three? Like, I just don't see how that can feasibly work. And I feel like they're stretching stuff a bit too thin here. But that's just me. I don't know if you guys are in the same boat at all.
I do kind of get where you're coming from there because, like, it on its own, it's a really fun episode. I think taken with the rest of the episodes so far, it is a little awkward that, like, we've had two episodes in a row that are like these standalone sort of fetch quests that have these more kind of like minor character arcs that aren't, that don't appear to be much at first. Like, my only rebuttal really would be what happens with Omega and Hunter, because I probably could be reaching here, but I think this is gonna represent Omega starting to kind of think for herself a bit more and branch out from the rest of the batch, because you kind of
that would be awesome. You
have had this theme, because like the batch in series one, they were doing exactly what Hunter wanted, which was, you know, they were laying low, they were earning money from Sid, they were trying to like just get away from everything. And, you know, like all throughout this, like what the one unifying thing is that we're seeing each of the batch, aside from Hunter, sort of like go through this thing of, you know, realizing that they could do more. Like Echo already knows that. He's been saying it since the start of the season. Tech sort of realizes it, I think, at the end of Faster. And then with Omega, we're sort of getting that. We're sort of seeing her start to, like, as I said earlier, like branch out and find people to look up to and find things she wants to do that don't necessarily line up with what the batch wants. And there's also an interview that I think Maggie Lovett did on Collider with I can't remember if it was Dee Bradley Baker and Michelle Ang, and I'm pretty sure in the interview it's specified that like Omega is going to become like Omega later on in the season is going to become concerned about all the clones' welfare, like not just the batch. She's gonna like have this, she's gonna be more aware of what's going on with the rest of
her brothers. And I love Omega as a character, so I cannot wait for her to take that next step. It just feels like right now, like the premiere was awesome. If it makes any sense, it feels like we're in like an interlude right now between seasons. Like, yeah, it's like they started off going in a really cool direction with the season premiere, and then we got Solitary Clone. And then it's like we're back in season one, these last two episodes. So it is a little bit weird, but I'm still hyped. You guys know how much I love this show and I love these characters.
Exactly.
So obviously, you can hear kind of the pain in my voice as I'm saying it right now. I'm like, what's the, again, it's like it's I'm not like, oh, this show sucks. Like I literally just said I liked the episode. I literally
it's said, ruined Star Wars. There's a solid, bricks in it.
There's a solid two or three. Speaking of which, there's bricks in A New Hope. I watched it the other day. I was lied to. I was told that bricks and screws don't exist in Star Wars.
It reminds me of this thing in A New Hope.
The thing in Andor and Rick's Road, it reminds me a lot of the Yavin 4 base in A New Hope.
Like a little known movie called Star Wars.
Yeah. But I think there's a solid three episodes of the show I dislike. So again, it's just me being like, yo, what's not clicking right now where it should be? So that's just me. That being said, Don brought up Dee Bradley Baker. So let me just get on my high horse real quick to bring this up. To any of our lovely friends, viewers, listeners that happen to be going to Star Wars Celebration London in April, I am not joking 100 at all when I say this. I am 100% serious. If you could get Dee Bradley Baker as one of the clones to say, hello, you're listening to For the Republic, a love letter to Star Wars animation, I will pay you all the money. You will be my best friend in the world. I wanted that since this show began. So please, since none of us are going, if you are meeting Dee Bradley Baker and you would like to help out these four dashing young individuals, get their podcast just a little bit. You're a year older than me.
I feel like my body feels like it's
I'm older
50.
Than both of you.
Exactly. We're all young at heart. Our limbs are just decaying.
We're like Obi-Wan. We're
gonna
look
great in our late 40s, but the minute we hit 50, we're just gonna go completely white and then look like an old hermit.
Who admittedly has an incredible thespian voice.
Again, oh, that's another thing I want to bring up. This is not Bad Batch related, but I tweeted because I had watched A New Hope for the first time since the Kenobi series aired
Ooh.
Oh, it makes such a difference, man. Like, again, like, there are little things that you wouldn't even think about. It makes so much more. And it's so weird how things line up 45 years in the future of, like, they make it so it's, like, if you watch the movie back, like, if you watched A New Hope for the first time, like, after watching the Kenobi series, you could feasibly be like, yeah, they had this in the plans the whole time. Like, just the way certain things work out. And I have, like, Obi-Wan, Don and I have the distinct pleasure of sharing our favorite character of all time. We're both Obi-Wan guys.
Yeah.
Obi-Wan's death in A New Hope has only ever emotionally impacted me once. And that was the first time I watched as a kid because I had no idea it was fucking coming. I was like, whoa, they just killed off the cool old guy. Like, what's going on here? I was like four. I was like completely shocked. And I just remember the first time seeing him, like, the robe drop to the ground and him just disappear. I was like, what's going on? That's never happened since then. I'm always like, that's a great scene, but I'm never like, which is weird because he's my favorite character of all time, but I just don't get sad during that scene. Seeing the smile on Ben's face after he sees Luke and Leia together and then letting Vader cut him down, I got choked up. That has not happened to me in almost 20 years, and I have seen this movie probably 100 times. So, again, people say that show, like, whoever said that show can not be ignored or can be ignored and it broke canon, quote-unquote, go fuck yourself. Because that made it made that movie better, and it's been out for 45 goddamn years.
Exactly. And it makes Return of the Jedi even better as well. Like, that whole sequence, where where Luke and Vader are talking, and, you know, Luke says to Vader the same thing Obi-Wan told him, you know, just like, well, almost the same thing, where he says that my father is truly dead. And when they walk away, and then Vader just turns and just sort of rests his hands on the balcony and just thinks, you're thinking, oh, he's thinking about what Obi-Wan said. Mm-hmm. He's reflecting on that time. And
he's thinking about the time he just got absolutely bodied.
Yeah. You know what else is better in hindsight is only a master of evil doth. It's just so much better after the ending of the final.
The Darth. I've said it before. The Darth detail in Kenobi, they could have gone the entire show without adding that, and it would have been completely fine. No one would have huffed and puffed about it. But the fact that the writers and Deborah Chow or whoever pitched it decided to add it just adds so much more gravitas to A New Hope.
The way Ewan delivers it as well, just like, almost an afterthought where he's like, goodbye, Darth. Like that, it just adds so much.
It's an insult.
Anyway. Mm-hmm. I love it. Yeah,
it's an insult.
I watched Empire the other night too, and you know what hasn't aged well? It's my favorite movie of all time. But that kiss with Luke and Leia,
we don't discuss that. Nope.
It's a thing every Star Wars fan has collectively decided just to try to not.
You know, of all things, George decided to edit out. You could have just. I don't know. I'm going to go on a rant one day about the special editions and why I think all the hate over it over the years is over nothing. But that's
I like the explosion race. The only thing I don't like is Luke screaming when he falls down the elevator.
And then they got rid of that. They got rid of that in the later edits. So I'll go on that rant another time. But back to the Bad Batch.
Yeah.
So again, it was a fun time. The Indiana Jones parallels were nice. Like I said, you can tell when they're doing a tribute and when they have these Indiana Jones style episodes. Like, you can tell the people working on the show just have an absolute blast every time they get to do something like this. And I think it showed just with the I pointed out how maybe they walked themselves into a corner here with how they hyped up the episode and then some people being like, that's what you hyped up? But like, They really love these type of episodes, and I love getting to see everyone's that's working on the show that I follow, like especially David Collins. Whenever he's posted his like, okay, so this is what I worked on in this episode, and this is how I got the influence for these sounds. Speaking of which, he just announced he's going to be doing the sound for Mando season 3. So that's freaking awesome. Yes. As a David Collins
yes.
fan.
Yes.
So I'm so excited about that. But again,
if we're talking sounds, can we talk about like the little droid?
Yes. I forgot to bring the droid up. That's the saddest part of the goddamn episode.
Yeah, that was a gut punch.
They give us a cool droid guy that looks like a jukebox.
She's just like waddling away, like just avoiding all the chaos. And then the beam just obliterates her. And I was like, no.
Rip.
But it's all right because Fee backed her up.
She got scarifed.
She got L3'd.
She got scarifed. Oh, God.
She got scarifed. That's a brutal line.
you mentioned
Kevin Kiner, actually. Yeah, Kevin Kiner's score was awesome. Again. Like it felt like Indiana Jones-esque, but not. It didn't feel like it was just riffing on John Williams' iconic score. It had that kind of sense of wonder, of excitement, but also kind of the spookiness of like raiding a lost tomb like this. And
hats off to Kevin Kiner.
Yeah,
like I said, saying it's not a new thing to say that a Kevin Kiner score is awesome, but these last three episodes in particular. The scores have been outstanding. Like the Blade Runner-esque score for the Solitary Clone, the awesome score for the race themes or the race scene in Faster, and then this episode, dude is on his A game this season. And I'm, again, it's one of those things where like you take for granted, and then when you finally get it back again after a while, you're like, okay, I missed this. Like a Kevin Kiner score. It's not one of those things where you're like, oh man, like it's not like, oh, a John Williams score, but like it has that same impact almost of like when you get a Kiner score compared to if you're just not having it for a while. Like when he didn't come back for Resistance, I was bummed out because I was like, oh, the music's still good, but like there's something about that Kiner score. So when he came back for this and Tales of the Jedi, I was like, we're being fed. And I think one day they should have him score a live action film, but that's just me.
I agree. Maybe he could score like Damon Lindelof's secret film that would be probably awesome. Going to announce at Celebration.
I would love
that. Daisy Ridley knows nothing about.
No, Daisy Ridley definitely isn't going to be at Star Wars Celebration announcing Rey's coming back. That's definitely not happening.
I
give it a 98% chance that it happens. I'm that confident on it. But him and John Powell, who did Solo, are the two that I want to just do more Star Wars because that's Solo
and Michael Giacchino with fucking enough fantastic. Time.
Yes.
I mean, pretty much every person who's like done a score, I want to see more of.
I remember people were not high on it when it first came out because I think they heard it was rushed and then they immediately were like, okay, so it's bad. But
it's also
it's good.
He was also replacing Alexander Desplat. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Who's also an incredible composer.
Like at least,
but
for Jyn Erso's theme and for the Guardians of the Wills theme alone, that score is awesome. Like
that last track is incredible.
The Guardians of the Wills suite, it's amazing. Mm. It's so good. But now we're just talking about scores here. But yeah, just again, hats off to everyone working on the show. I just am like waiting for stuff to happen. However, I am looking at the next two episodes.
Is it the next episode?
So the next episode, just the names of the titles. So the next episode is Tribe, which Connor is going to be doing something special for that he announced last week. So that's probably where we're going to be getting our boy Gunji. And then after that is a two-parter, The Clones Conspiracy and Truth and Consequences. So that's hopefully when some shit's going to go down. So we will be seeing that.
Maybe Cody tries to contact Rex. Maybe there's something involving, because I've heard rumors that Boba could show up as well. And I feel like that given that they designated him Alpha, they need to have Boba and Omega interact.
I said it around Boba at this age. I would love to have those two.
I was so pleased about that. Cause I remember like posting, I don't know. I think I tweeted it like when Bad Batch season one was on that, like Boba is basically the Alpha. Omega is literally the Omega. And then they literally just came out and said, like a few episodes later, that Boba was designated Alpha, which I guess means Alpha the Clone is no longer canon. But you know, whatever. We got Rex, so it's a fair trade off.
I mean, maybe he still is. They've had characters with the same name before. But
yeah, share a name.
Maybe
exactly.
They can name him something different. But who knows? Well, I guess we'll cross that bridge when we get there. Gentlemen, this has been fun, but I feel like we've hit our point for what we can discuss for this episode. So yeah, overall, it was a nice Indiana Jones episode. The ending stuff with the Zepho, but not the Zepho, was really cool and weird. And I like when Star Wars gets into that like weird storytelling territory of like really going all out there. So I like that a lot. I'm just hoping we can turn the page soon. But looking at these episode titles, at least trying to predict stuff, I'm hoping we're gonna be getting to that point soon. And I'm hoping next week I'll come on the show and have a lot of great things to say about this show, because I have missed that. It was just a couple weeks ago we were talking about Solitary Clone, and Connor and I were like, oh my God, this episode. And I missed that. So thank you guys for listening to our recap of The Bad Batch Season 2, Episode 5. I hope you guys enjoyed. Let me know what you're thinking about the season so far. Are you really enjoying it? Are you not liking it at all? Or are you with me where it's like, you know, I'm liking it, but I feel like there's something missing. So let me know in the comments or in the replies on our social medias. So, gentlemen, where can the people find you? Don, how about you start things off?
Okay, you can find me on Twitter at Donovan Mead, where I tweet Star Wars, Marvel, Doctor Who, politics occasionally. You can also find me on Instagram, Donovan _ McComish, Hive at Donovan McComish. You can also find me on sweditorig.com, where I write articles along with Connor and Andrew, and I'm also part of the Star Wars, SWEF, which is Star Wars Editor Fiction, where we write a series of short stories and comics that take place adjacent to the current canon of Star Wars. Like we try not to infringe on any like anything that's been canonically established, but we try to tell our own unique stories that take place within that timeline. I have written one story released back in June last year. It was called Scars of War. It focuses on a clone trooper called Blister who survived Order 66 and encounters a Jedi survivor of Order 66 as well. Her name is Shaar Coon. She's a character from Legends that I got to like repurpose for this story. It was really fun to write. And if you like Star Wars that deals in pain and emotional trauma and PTSD and that kind of thing, then yeah, check it out.
All right, Connor.
Twitter.
Oh, I am also a question writer on Epic Confrontations with this guy right here. You know, we write questions for Eli. We just had like the last one with
new episode.
Big Chungus.
Big Travis, yeah. And Bangers and Smash. That was a surprising one when I watched it. I was not expecting the result.
Yeah,
definitely
no controversial questions. And Andrew, I will say it off air, you're never going to guess who wrote the last question.
Oh, I know exactly who wrote it, but
you might. But
oh, I might. Off air. We'll see. All right. So Connor, how about you?
You can find me on Twitter and Hive, both at Depa Banana. Instagram, ConManJFO. Like Don said, you can also find me at the Star Wars in a Galaxy Epic Confrontations. I'm a question writer and a co-host. You can find all the matches over there over on the Star Wars in a Galaxy podcast YouTube channel. And also sweditorig.com/fiction. We have over 10 stories published on the website, including Don's. I don't have any published yet. I do have a few in development. One I can talk about is called A Knight's Welcome. It is set sometime after Fallen Order, and Cal encounters a mysterious being on a new planet and uncovers secrets of the Force he once thought impossible. That comes out in March. And yeah, next week for Bad Batch, I, along with my co-host at Knights of the Nerd Republic, part of the Nerd Academy Podcast Network, Jared the Dark Jedi, I, along with Jared, will be on the Star Wars Explained Bad Batch recap show, The Clone Zone, February 1st, to talk tribe. And
that's going to be dope.
Really, really excited.
You'll be talking about hopefully a certain Jedi Wookiee and then just randomly throwing in the phrase for the Republic in every couple seconds. It's like, you know, this reminds me of the Clone Wars. Speaking of the Clone Wars. And then just keep transitioning. get the word. I'll try and be in the live chat for that one because that's going to be tremendous. I'm hoping I'm not working, but knowing my luck, I will be. As for myself, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, at Starlight Andrew. I tweet a lot about Star Wars and other stuff. I'm currently doing a film journal on Twitter and Instagram of everything I've watched this year. So I'm logging all that. You can check out what I'm watching and liking. And also follow me on Letterboxd. Same thing, Starlight Andrew, where you can check out everything I've been watching. And I usually do short reviews for pretty much everything I watch. As for the podcast, you can find us on Twitter at For the Repub Pod and on Instagram and TikTok at For the Republic Pod. And then our YouTube page, For the Republic Podcast. We post video versions of all of our episodes. Check those out so you can see these beautiful faces at least once a week on your viewing devices. And also, speaking of Knights of the Nerd Republic, Connor won't be alone this week because the pod dads are getting back together again.
Custody battle part two.
I will be joining Jared, Spencer, and Connor tomorrow. Today, this is probably coming out on Friday, but we're recording this on Thursday. So Friday, if you are listening, I don't know if it's going to be going up on Friday or not, but we'll be recording our new episode of Knights of the Nerd Republic. I'll be on. We're going to be talking about the Bad Batch. So if you like what I've had to say during these recaps, you might like what we have to say there. And that's going to be so fun, finally getting to go on Knights. And yeah, I have some other stuff I'm working on in the pipeline that I can't really talk about right now, but hopefully some cool news coming soon. We will be back here next week for our season one finale of our Clone Wars discussions. We'll be talking the Ryloth arc, which I'm super excited to talk about.
Ryloth.
Chom Syndulla. It's so fucking good. And then later in the week, we, of course, will be back for our episode six discussion of the Bad Batch. So stay tuned for that. And until next time, we'll see you later. And may the Force be with you always.